Praise God. God is good all the time. He is worthy of praise. The title of the message today is Shifting the Atmosphere. Shifting the Atmosphere. We have been given the authority or the power to shift the atmosphere around us. What we speak, what we proclaim, can shift the atmosphere. We're going to go through some scripture here today. Before we do that, I'll just say I had a dream earlier this week. And in the dream, I saw some people, and they were kind of dejected or depressed or looking down. And as I, in this dream, as I was looking at this people, suddenly something rose up within me and I began to proclaim. I began to say, you have the power to shift the atmosphere. And I began to talk about praise and thanksgiving. And as I did, the people began to respond. And so I just felt led to kind of bring this message today as a reminder that God has given us the power, the authority to shift the atmosphere around us. Not just for our own lives, but even those, around us. We've got a few scripture passages, one in particular, and then a couple we'll probably touch on briefly. The main passage is in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And it's the story of Jehoshaphat, where an enemy comes against. And Jehoshaphat inquires of the Lord and says, what shall we do? It looks impossible. What shall we do? And Jehoshaphat goes in response to the Lord's instruction. Jehoshaphat goes to battle. But he goes to battle a little bit different than you might normally go. He sends the singers, the praisers, out before. And it shifts the atmosphere and it brings confusion to the enemy's camp. Let's go ahead and actually read through most of 2 Chronicles 20 here. I'll highlight a few things as we go through. So starting with verse 1, it says, after this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. So there were some, we'll call them the Ite brothers, who were coming to make war, to attack Jehoshaphat. It says, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon, Tamar, that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. So, the answer first is what? Jehoshaphat knew what to do. He inquired of the Lord. He was afraid. He was alarmed. He's, oh no, they're coming. Okay. Lord, what are we to do in our own lives? Inquire of the Lord. It says the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. It wasn't just the leadership, but it was all. The people came together and sought the Lord. It says, then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms and the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Let's pause for a moment here. Let's remember that as we inquire of the Lord, let us remember who we pray to. What's it say? It says, you rule all the kingdoms of the nations. Power, might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Let's remember we are praying to the God who has all power, all might, all dominion, all authority. Kind of makes everything else kind of pale in comparison, right? When we realize who we're praying to. Verse 7, it says, O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Pause again. So first, he reminds the people of the great God, of who this God is. And then he goes in and he reminds the people of what God has done. May we look in our own lives for a moment. What has God done? Let us remind ourselves of who this God is that we serve. He is great. He is powerful. Remember what he has done in the nations and in our own lives. Verse 8, they have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Oh, here is a powerful verse. It says, what? We have no power to face this vast army. In the natural, they were helpless. They were hopeless. It says, we don't know what to do. But what? But our eyes are upon you. Over the last number of years, in my own personal life, God has been drilling into me, David, keep your eyes on me. And not just for me, but for God's people. As he has warned over the last few years, as he has warned of the times ahead, at the shakings that are ahead, the answer for God's people is keep our eyes on him. And this is what they were doing. They were saying, we're looking around, and in the natural, it's impossible. It can't happen. But what? We don't know what to do, but we will keep our eyes on you. That is our answer. All right, let's keep going. Well, let's pause for a moment, too. Because again, let's think about what we're talking about, the power to shift the atmosphere. Because if our eyes are on that vast army, if our eyes are on the enemy, if our focus is on the enemy, then we will be shaken. But if our eyes are on the Lord, on this one who rules over the nations, who has all power, all authority, nothing is impossible with him, then suddenly that fear can melt away. What are we looking at? What we are looking at is what will pour forth from us. If we're fixed on the enemy, we're going to say, oh, look, there's trouble, there's this, there's that, we got all these problems, you know, it's impossible. But what about God? What about God? What about the God? Whom do you serve? I wasn't planning on putting this in here, but think about for a moment David and Goliath. David came before a giant that in the natural it looked impossible. In the natural, all the armies of Israel were shaking in their boots, too afraid to come forward, too afraid to move on. Keep your finger there in 2 Chronicles, but let's turn for just a moment to 1 Samuel 17. You can read the whole chapter on your own sometime of 1 Samuel 17 about the story of David and Goliath, but for the sake of this message, I want to just bring out one verse. It's verse 45. Where David is standing before Goliath. And what does he say? David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." He shifts the focus. All the focus of Israel had been like, oh, look at this big giant. And David says, what? He says, no, I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David knows God. And because of that, he stands in the face of Goliath and says, listen, you look pretty big in the natural, but let me tell you about my God. The God who has all power and might. The God who rules over the nations. The God who's brought his people out of Israel or out of Egypt. The God who does signs and wonders. Do we know who we serve? Let us be reminded of this. Look to him, eyes on him. So back to 2 Chronicles 20. Pick up with verse 12 again. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Says all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. You know, it was a whole family thing. It wasn't just a few here and there. It was men, women, children, little ones. Don't despise the little things. Remember that the Spirit of God can be just as powerful in a little child. And perhaps sometimes even more powerful because they don't have all the resistance that some of us older people do sometimes. Verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph. As he stood in the assembly, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. says, why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. Sometimes I think we forget whose battle this is. Yes, we are to partner with the Lord, but it's not really our battle, it's His battle. Let me say that again. You know, God calls us to partner with Him. It's not that we don't necessarily have, you know, we do have responsibility. But what's our responsibility? Well, we're going to find that out. It's to praise Him, to lift up His name, to exalt Him, to put all the focus upon Him. It says, tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you will be successful. Place your trust, your confidence in Him and what He is speaking. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. I mean, pause for a moment. One moment we have these enemies coming in. Fear strikes the hearts of the people. They inquire of the Lord, and the Lord says, oh, the battle's not yours. And what is it? All the focus, all the attention is on God. And they went out at the head of the army proclaiming, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. This has the power to shift the atmosphere. Remember, from fear to faith. Oh no, look how big, you know, this is, or that is, or Goliath is, or whatever it is that's coming. Oh, remember our God. Begin to give thanks to Him, for His love endures forever. This is the reality of who God is. His love endures forever. Give thanks to Him. Give praise to Him. Wherever you find yourselves, give thanks to Him. Give praise to Him. And what? In verse 22, it says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. What happened? The atmosphere shifted as the people of God praised God, gave thanks to Him, and pointed all the attention to God. When all the focus goes to God, when the attention is placed upon Him, and He is proclaimed, and His might, and His power, and His ability is proclaimed, the atmosphere shifts. And the enemy who was coming to attack them actually was thrown into confusion and began to destroy one another. Says, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. And what did they do? They didn't have to fight. They proclaimed the name of the Lord. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder. They found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and Also, articles of value more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. The fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given them rest on every side. There's a song that says, this is how we fight our battles. It may look like we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by our God. Where are we going to look? As we shift the focus off of the enemy and onto God, we will see the atmosphere shift. We will see confusion brought to the enemy, and God's enemies will be scattered. Can I exhort us in this season? Stop looking at the enemy. Stop getting all our focus on the enemy and get our focus on him. Let us keep our eyes on him. You know, it's okay to say, you know what? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, Lord. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, and we will proclaim your power, your majesty. We will proclaim your goodness. We will give thanks to you, and we will proclaim your love that endures forever. Let's remember the one that we pray to. Let's remember the one that we pray to. In Ezekiel and in Revelations, there's some visions of the throne room of God, of the Son of God, the Son of Man. I'm going to read just a few verses out of Ezekiel chapter 1, starting with verse 22. Says, spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice and awesome. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out, one toward the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Then there came a voice from above the expanse, over their heads, as they stood with the lowered wings above the expanse. Over the heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire, and high above the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as it was full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. So this is Ezekiel's encounter with God. This one of blazing lights. And his response was to fall face down. We read in Revelations chapter 4. I'll go ahead and read from that. Revelation chapter 4, starting with the first verse. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. Pause for a moment. Remember? Our God. Remember the one who sits upon the throne. It says, "And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white, and the crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder." You know, not everybody does, but I love thunderstorms. When it's just flashes of lightning and rumblings of thunder that just shake you to the core. It's just but a little tiny taste of the throne room, of the power and the majesty of a living God. It says, "Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like an ox, third had a face of a man, and fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" Jesus said, "What? Let it be on earth as it is in heaven." Oh, I'm praying that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would see Him, that we would catch a glimpse of this One upon the throne. And the only response that we have when we see Him, when we behold Him, the response is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Everything else pales in comparison. When we see Him, the Goliaths, the enemies, the nations are nothing. They are but a drop in the bucket in comparison to the greatness of knowing God. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created, and they have their being." Talk about shifting the atmosphere. Again, I want to exhort us in this season. Ask God for a fresh revelation of Him. Stop spending so much time trying to absorb all that the enemy is doing. And start spending your days proclaiming God. The enemy's too big. In the natural, the enemy's too big. The army is too vast. It's impossible. But as we read there in 2 Chronicles, let's keep our eyes upon Him and watch Him work. This isn't about us. This is about Him and His great power and His name and His majesty. Yes, we get to partner with Him. And how do we partner with Him? We proclaim His name. We lift Him up. We praise Him, exalt Him, give thanks about to Him, proclaim that His love endures forever. Shift the atmosphere and watch the enemy be thrown into confusion. Let us not play into the enemy's hands by focusing our attention upon Him and what He's doing. Praise the Lord, all the earth. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. This is imperative. It is needed. It is necessary. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to Him. Lift up His name from day to day. I invite you to begin right now and let it continue. Father, you are worthy of praise. You are worthy of glory. You are the God of all the nations. You raise up kings, you bring down kings. You are great and greatly to be praised. They may come to us with sword and with spear, with natural weapons, but we come in your name. You are worthy. You will fight for us. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of glory. Oh, Father, help us to return to the call upon our lives to simply praise you and worship you and adore you, to behold you and to make you known. You alone will be exalted, not unto us, not unto us, but to your name be the glory. Forever and ever. Amen. Keep your eyes upon him. Feast upon him. And watch the atmosphere change in your life and in those around you. Keep our eyes on him.